In this podcast, Ed continues the interview with Australian-based Winston Marsh. Winston is a professional speaker and marketing guru who helps businesses make more money. Heaps more money. This segment continues by shedding light on his unique 2x2x2 formula to substantially increase your revenue. An important lesson from Winston is that the work we do is what fuels our dreams. He suggests that we must live our lives in a way that achieves our dreams before they carry us off, not after. That may be a great reason to listen to Winston again, to achieve greater success sooner so that we have the wherewithal to achieve those dreams.
One of your, let's imagine that one of your clients rings up to talk to you. And your receptionist says, look, he'll be with you in a moment, or she'll be with you in a moment. He's just tied up. By the way, when you get through to him or her, ask them about that amazing trustee they just did recently. Or ask them about that amazing inventory of legal matters that they did just recently. All I've got to do is mention something. And, of course, what's going to happen if she says that, or the receptionist says that, what's going to happen when the caller gets through to you?
Well, of course, the first thing they'll ask is, what was your receptionist talking about?
Yeah, and that's it. And there we'll be telling, not selling, so that we overcome our reluctance to sell. We've just got to answer their questions.
Well, let me ask you this. I know that it sounds great, and I'm sure it works in a lot of different areas, but what would you say to the lawyer who says, that just doesn't sound professional to me?
Well, that's just the curse of assumption, you know, to say it doesn't sound professional. Let me paint a scenario here. There's some product, some service one of your clients should buy, but because it doesn't sound professional, you never mention it to them. And later on, they get into all that sort of trouble that purchasing that service or product would have changed. And you say to them afterwards, oh, look, Mr. Client, I'm very sorry. I could have done that for you, but I didn't want to mention it to you because it would have sounded as though I was selling you. It wouldn't have been professional.
Well, another aspect of that same response that many lawyers are familiar with is when they do, for example, a family law matter and changes the entire dynamic of the family, requiring the client to prepare a will, the lawyer never tells the client or seldom tells the client that their office also does wills. And so the client goes to another lawyer, and then the first lawyer is scratching his head or her head and suggests to him, you know, wonders why the client didn't ask them about it first.
And says to himself, oh, I don't know why I didn't tell him about that, but I suppose I didn't because it wouldn't have been professional.
Yeah.
Look, the element of professionalism is making sure that you ensure that your clients know all the things they need to know about what you can do for them. You're guilty of, not providing good service if you don't tell them. I reckon probably the thing here, Ed, is being comfortable with the way you go about it. Remember, so often it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And an approach in one way that can sound like a sales pitch, put another way, can sound like friendly and helpful advice. So to not tell people about your services is totally unprofessional.
That's a great way of looking at it. In some cases, one might also say it could be malpractice in the family law context. Again,
yes.
The lawyer must tell the client that they need to look at their estate and their estate planning mechanisms in order to make sure that the distribution of the estate goes in accordance with the client's wishes, and that those wishes now may have been altered. And it's malpractice not to suggest that to the client.
Exactly right.
And I think what you're saying is just take it one step further and say, if you want to do that, we can help you with it.
Indeed, indeed.
Well, let's go on now to your second two and your formula of 2x2. What does that mean from your context?
Well, the second two is how do we get our clients to come back twice as much? Now, if you've got your clients to come back twice as much, expenses remain the same, but your fee base, your fees are going to go up by twice that amount. And how do you do that? Well, you do something that most lawyers don't do very well at all. You stay in touch with your client base. In today's world, if you're going to build a relationship with your clients, you need to be in touch with them, Ed, 6 to 11 times every year. That's right. That's once a month or once every 2 months. And that excludes any contact you have with them when you're handling a matter. So what you've got to do is set your database up in a way that you can use it effectively. Now, many lawyers tell me that they've got a database, and I say, oh, yeah, where is it? And it's sort of a heap of computer printouts laying on the floor in a spare office. You do not have a database that's effective unless I can say to you, look, could you get this out to your client base? And you can have it out to the client base the same day. So what you've got to do is, first of all, get that database into good shape and condition. Now, a few years ago, when we could only use snail mail, to be in touch with your client base was going to be fairly expensive, you know. A mailing to perhaps 200, 500, 1,000 clients or even more would cost quite a lot if you had to do it 6 to 11 times a year. But now we have the ability to use email as well as other ways of staying in touch. So most lawyers should think about having at least email contact with clients around once a month. And I know people are going to say to me, ah, if I do that, I'm going to be guilty of spamming them. Now, let me define spam. Spam is only stuff your clients don't want to get. So the simple thing is, when you stay in touch with clients, whether you're using email or snail mail or anything else, is you've got to make sure it's something they want to get. It's got to be of interest to them. It's got to be client-focused. And if you do that, people will not only want to get your staying in touch material, they'll look forward to it and they will act upon it. So focus on finding something to say to your clients of interest, not necessarily about the law every time, but of interest to them and their lives. Because remember, clients are people and they want to go out for dinner. They have children, they go away on vacations, they fall in love, they fall out of love, they buy real estate, they sell real estate, they do everything that other people do. So it's just got to be interesting to them. You can tell them about it. You can send them the recipe for your partner's turkey hash. You can tell them about the most magic and romantic travel spot in the world. And you can also tell them about wills, and you can tell them about what's going to happen when finally the estate of Anna Nicole Smith gets to settled, and so on. Make it interesting.
And that's really, I think, a focal point, because when lawyers generally, when people in general think in terms of making those kinds of contacts, they're thinking of hyping their own offerings, so to speak. They're thinking of features. They're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about the benefits to the client or the information that they can pass on to the client. The client knows when they receive a publication or an electronic newsletter or the like that it's coming from you. And if it's interesting, they'll remember you as much, if not more, than they'll remember the subject matter of your context.
And if you tell them something interesting, they'll appreciate it. After all, one of the most used phrases in conversation is when you tell people something and they say, that's interesting. So it's simple stuff. Make it interesting and you'll be regularly in touch. Now, here's the thing. When you're in touch regularly with your clients, you remind them that you're around. So if they have a problem, or if they have a thought, or if they have something they need, they're far more likely to climb on the phone and give you a call for a chat. Or alternatively, if they read something interesting from you, they're likely to give you a call and say, gee, that was interesting, and then they say those wonderful words, and by the way. And when they've got a by the way, they will often have something else they're thinking about doing, or they want your opinion on, or they want you to act on. So it's that staying in touch and being remembered. Of course, Ed, it's not only email. I suggest that you should always do at least 2 snail mail letters a year. You know, in these days of electronic mail, there's nothing better now than to get an old-fashioned mailing in a nice envelope with nice print on the front of the envelope and good-feeling paper, and you open it up and there's something interesting there. So I'd send a couple of letters every year. I'd invite people to a seminar. I'd remember their birthdays. You know, a whole lot of other things you can do that really build a stay-in-touch campaign. Now, a lot of lawyers and other professionals tell me they get too busy to do this. And about now, you know, around the start of the year is a good time to perhaps rule off a day in your diary and to say, today I'm going to do my planning. And what I'm going to do is plan the contacts I'm going to have with my clients over the next 12 months. So you can say, I'm going to write about this, and I'm going to have something about this. And again, get it all done so now that your PA can handle it automatically without having to say to you, I need something to send out to our clients. It becomes a system that works for you. And every time you have contact with your clients, you'll see more business coming your way. That's the second two. How do we get our clients to come back twice as often?
Well, let's move on then to our third two in your formula.
All right, Ed, let me ask you a question before we do this third two. What is the most common form of new prospect generation? What brings more new clients into any business than any other means?
By all the studies I've seen, referrals.
Referrals. Let me give you the figures. If you're a retailer, if you're a tradesperson, if you're in hospitality, around 80% of your new business, your new prospects, should be coming from referrals. If you're a professional, doctor, dentist, lawyer, that figure zooms up to around 92% of your new business. In other words, 92% of your new business should be coming by way of referral. That's amazing. So the third two is very simple. How do we get our clients to introduce a friend? Because if every client introduces another friend, then we'll double our business. And by far the best way of thinking about increasing your business is to ask yourself, how do we get our clients to introduce a friend? And there are 3 ways of making this happen. The first one is to make your clients say wow whenever they deal with you. And by wow, I mean make the experience memorable so that when people have dealt with you, they go away and they're thinking, wow, that was sensational. And they say to their friends, you know, I went to my lawyer today and here's what he or she did. And they talk about what differentiates you, and guess what? Their friend says, gee, my lawyer, the person I use, doesn't do that. What's the name of your lawyer? And it starts. Now, you'll say, how do you make your services wow? Look, it's not what you do as a lawyer that matters. It's the perception you put around what you do that's important. There's a firm of accountants right here in Melbourne that we wanted to differentiate their services. And I had a look at where they were and decided that the bane of clients' problems in coming to see them was parking. So I said, let's arrange that when those A-class clients come and see you, we valet park their car. We use a retired guy to do it who loves it. When he's told that Mr. Smith is coming in at 11 o'clock, Mr. Smith pulls up out front. John hops into the car and goes and valet parks it. When the car's required, they just call and John brings it back and it's the front curb. I mean, this is unheard of for accountants. And, of course, clients say to their friends, oh, I went to see my account the other day and they valet parked my car. And the friend says, they what? Said valet parked my car. They say, gee, my accountant doesn't do that. Who's your accountant? And that single thing has been responsible for so much business because clients talk about them. Because really, they don't know how good they are as accountants. They'll never know that until, you know, the feds turn up and drag the client away for tax evasion. They'll never know.
And in every major city, that issue of valet parking would be an element of differentiation immediately.
Yeah, so simple. Now, the other one that stands you apart and makes an experience memorable is always, but always, to phone a client after they've been to see you. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, a client comes in and you deal with the matter and da-da-da-da, and you may phone them about it. But it's always great for you or one of your team members to say, you were in to see me or you're in to see Mary yesterday. Was everything okay? It's just nice to follow up because nobody does it. You go to the doctor and have an injection, or you go to the dentist and have a tooth removed. They don't bother to phone you up and see how it went. So it's simple common courtesy that makes people say, wow. I like to remember people on their birthdays, and you're going to say to me, look, we're talking here about a professional relationship. Why remember people on their birthdays? That's a bit kitschy, isn't it? Well, I don't know. What does my wife mean when she says to me, now, darling, I don't want you to make a fuss of my birthday next Thursday? What she really means is, make a fuss of my birthday. Everybody likes to be remembered. And I think to remember clients on their birthday in a sincere, simple, personal way is just fantastic. You know, there's a way you can shout your clients a meal at their favourite restaurant without costing you a fortune. We'll talk about that one day, but buy them a meal on their birthday, and they're wrapped. So that's the first way of getting referrals, to get people to talk about you by making them say, wow. The second way is to do something that professionals hate, and that's to ask for referrals. It's as simple as saying, by the way, John, is there anybody else who you think may need help on this sort of matter, that may need, pre-mat agreement, or may need help on their corporate structure? Now, a lot of times they'll say, no, there isn't. But every so often I'll say, look, I was just talking to somebody and they said they needed it. It's so easy. All you have to do is ask. And the third way of generating referrals is to have a system. Now, a system is something that happens automatically. And by a system, I mean I want you to think through your way you do referrals or seek referrals and systematise it. And in order to do this, you've got to remember that something happened when you were a little kid and you sat on your mother's knee. You had to take some medicine and your mother, I'll bet, your mom, said, take the nasty medicine and mommy will give you a candy. They give us a reward for taking nasty medicine. And ingrained into our psyche is respond to reward. So in the case of referrals, we need to reward people for referrals. Now, I can see people throwing their hands in the air and saying, oh, this is terrible, I can't do that. Well, it's very simple. What you need to do is test and measure what's right. If you give a reward that's too small, it's an insult. If you give a reward that's large, too large, it's a bribe. So you've got to get it just right. And one of the ways you can do that is talk to your clients and say, I'm thinking of rewarding for referrals. What sort of reward do you think I should give? And a lot of clients will say, I didn't know you wanted referrals. I don't need a reward. I thought you were too busy. They'll start referring anyway.
Yeah, but, and most of the people, at least in the professional world, will say, I just want my client or my prospect taken care of. Just tell me that you've done that and that the client is happy, and then just say thank you.
Tell me that you've done it. Yeah. And look, in this busy world, it's so rare to have people saying thank you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So rare. So a typical reward might be to say, look, any time you introduce a new client, I'd like to shout your dinner. And if they say, oh, no, you don't have to do that, or that's a bit kitschy, you say, no, if you introduce a client to me, it saves me on my marketing expenses, and I'd like to share the savings with you. So it's simple stuff, and people like it. There's still a great feeling of joy if you get something for nothing. Now, once you've got the reward set up in your mind, you can write a letter like this. Good morning, Mr. Client. I'm writing to tell you I must be stupid. Now, that's the headline, and the purpose of the headline is to get your attention. And, of course, if your client gets a letter saying, I'm writing to tell you I must be stupid, it's either going to confirm what they already know or they think they don't know, so they'd better read on. And the letter goes on saying, the other day, one of my clients rang me and asked me whether it'd be all right to send one of her friends in to see me. And I told her that would be okay because that's where most of our new clients come from, referrals of our friends and clients. So she sent her friend in to see me, and I saw him, and we solved his problems, and he was delighted. But here's why I must be stupid. I've never thought to write and tell you that I'd welcome your referrals. Please don't hesitate to refer anybody you think I may be able to help to see me. Tell them I may be stupid, but I'll do a great job for them. Yours sincerely. And you finish with a PS. PS, by the way, at any time you refer a client to us, we'd like to thank you by sending you a voucher for dinner or a gift certificate or whatever. Now, it's amazing how well, I wrote that letter about 20 years ago, and it's amazing how well it worked. And you don't make the mistake of sending it out to your total client base all at once. You perhaps send out 20 or 30 letters with that in it every week. And just slowly but slowly, it'll build the referral base. Easy peasy stuff to do. So there are three ways of getting your clients to introduce a friend. That's the two by two by two.
Well, one of the interesting things as we come to our conclusion today is that it's not an arithmetic 2 by 2 by 2. It's 2 cubed. It's geometric progression. And the expansion of the sales revenue that is possible and the improvement of client service is just astounding when we look at it through your eyes this way.
Oh, yes. Look, most professionals don't realize how they can literally explode their business. How much business is there by just doing the simple things? And what you need to do when you unleash these powerful tactics is to make sure you decide what sort of clients you want to deal with and the sort of business you want to do. Because you'll be capable of generating exactly and precisely the amount of business with the sort of clients you want to do business with to make you a very happy person so that you can, as I often say, prematurely retire to the beaches of the world with oceans of money washing all over your magnificent body.
And if I quote you from our first segment, work is the way to achieve your dreams and not your dreams a way to do more work.
That's dead right. You know, we're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time. And the first thing we need to do as lawyers is become better marketers of what we do than doers of what we do. I know that every one of your listeners are great lawyers or great professionals, Ed, but I'm not so sure that they're great marketers, that they can get out there and tell people they're good so that they get the opportunity. It's simply a matter of having a system. Ed, look, before we go, there's one powerful thing I need to talk about if I've got a minute.
Go ahead.
And that is the How's Things Call. Every day, get into your office and ring a client you don't need to ring. Now, I know that sounds silly. Ring a client you don't need to ring. Generally, ring your A-class clients. Do it first thing in the morning when you'll probably get straight through. And you pick up the phone and you say, "G'day, Bob. G'day, Mary. How's things?" And you know they're going to say, "Gee, you must have nothing to do." Or, "Gee, this is going to cost me money." And you just say, "No, just ringing to say how's things." And guess what? They tell you. Because in this busy world, most professionals never talk to clients unless they have to. It's one of the complaints our clients have. I never hear from them unless they want something. So you just chat away, say how's things, ask them the W questions, who, what, when, where and why, and they sing like canaries. And I'll bet you that 6 out of 10 of those calls will introduce more business. They'll say things like, "Oh, I just meant to ring you." Now, they don't mean that. They hadn't even thought of ringing you until you ring and they suddenly realise they've got a problem. Or they'll say, "By the way, I was talking to a friend the other day and they need to come and talk to you." And you can say, "What's their name?" More than half of the new business you get will be referrals. And guess what? When you ring and say, "How's things?" you are really doing the rule that I love to observe, which is do the things that other people don't do. And other professionals don't bother to ring their clients and say, "How's things?" If you do that, you're going to build the relationship. And more importantly, by having great relationships, you're going to have great businesses. The How's Things call has got to be used in trained hands, Ed. It is so powerful, so explosive, that if people don't handle it well, they risk suffering the effects of far too much business.
Once again, our time has gone so fast that I hardly notice we've spent as much time as we have. I want to thank you for joining us and conveying your pearls of wisdom to our listeners.
It's been a real pleasure, Ed, a real pleasure.
You have been listening to a LawBiz podcast. For more podcasts, please visit www.lawbiz.com/podcasts.html. Feel free to tell your friends and colleagues about LawBiz podcasts. You may duplicate this program in part or in whole, provided that you retain appropriate attribution and copyright notices.